claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char, and let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
I now believe, of course, that Bill Gates was telling us what to expect when he conducted these symposia worldwide, telling us that the greatest threat to the world, to humanity, to the future existence of the planet was not nuclear war, but rather a global pandemic. Little did we know the full dimensions that the pandemic would be a mass illusion, but the vaccinations would be all too real and threaten to take out a very large segment, billions of the world's population for the benefit of the global elite. Much of what I have to report today is going to be very disturbing, especially a 10-minute clip where we're being informed of what we can anticipate. Brace yourself. When it comes, I'll warn you before I play it. Meanwhile, I'm going to give an update on the major news stories and then take callers at the earliest opportunity, but that may well be into the third segment or at the bottom of the third, where I will for sure take callers the last part of the show. Meanwhile, Biden's cognitive decline continues to be swift and obvious. I think there's not much room for doubt about what's going on here. And indeed, I'm convinced that the reason he was selected, just as we had to have the election of Bush and Cheney in 2000 to bring us 9/11 and the Patriot Act, we had to have Biden-Harris elected to bring us a coronavirus and the vaccines, but also to get the one man who had the political clout to oppose it, Donald Trump, off of the stage. So this was a massive operation. It involved collusion, all kinds of forms of theft of the election, which are gradually emerging, but where it's very clear that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were selected because they are cognitively incompetent, because they have no conscience, because they are willing to play the role of dupes and saps, phonies and frauds, to benefit the powerful globalist elite that are seeking to control the entirety of planet Earth. More video emerged Thursday showing Joe Biden's cognitive decline is neither slowed nor stopped. The author doesn't feel sorry for him because of his history of corruption, nastiness, racism, and pervy behavior. But watching a Democrat struggle with a mentally decompensating president is problematic because this guy, after all, theoretically is the leader of the free world. The latest evidence occurred when he appeared before the press to take questions about Afghanistan. He struggled to find his thought. In fact, Biden is stuttering now, shows his brain's controls and knowledge are regressing. Indeed, it's one of the tragedies of dementia. All the skills and knowledge a person attained throughout his life vanished. A person with advanced dementia has in many ways returned to early childhood, even infancy, whether it's the loss of memory, speech, or bowel and bladder continence. Did you notice when Biden, after an endless pause, finally remembered a bit about Osama bin Laden? He does two things. First, he gives us his clown's head death grin, showing relief that his memory coughed up useful information. Second, he seeks to take credit for bin Laden's death. But no one can take credit for bin Laden's death. He died from his medical maladies in Afghanistan on 15 December 2001. That's right. Anyone who still believes in the fantasy that he died in the raid in the compound a decade later has missed the memo. That was political theater to position Barack Obama for a triumphal reelection by having got the most wanted man in the world. But it was all poppycock from the beginning. Osama was our man in Afghanistan. He was instrumental in getting Stinger missiles into the hands of the Mujahideen. They used to shoot down Soviet helicopters and planes. He was actually an officer in the CIA. Colonel Tim Osman, and he was visited by an official from the agency in a hospital in Dubai shortly before his death from his medical maladies. It's tough to get dialysis machines in and out of those caves in Afghanistan, where both CNN and Fox News on the 26th of December 2001 reported that he had died. By the way, there are a couple chapters about it in my book, and I suppose We Didn't Go to the Moon Either, which has about 15 contributors. It's my favorite. In this new second edition, we have expanded not only about the Paul Fall, where Paul McCartney died on 9/11/1966, and was replaced by a man I regard as an even better musician. About the moon landing, of course, which doesn't seem to bother anyone, but about the first death of Saddam Hussein, where he was replaced by a body double who was put on trial and eventually hanged, and about Osama bin Laden and the second death of Osama 10 years after his first. There's also a splendid collection of essays about World War II and the Holocaust narrative that everyone ought to read, and which appears to be the reason why Amazon banned the book at the request of the ADL, who wanted Jeff Bezos to get rid of any publication that disputed the official narrative thereof, where he banned between 200 and 2,000 books, mine among them. It's still available, however, I'm happy to say, at moonrockbooks.com. History records Biden staunchly opposed killing bin Laden, one in his endless list of foreign policy failures, but of course you can't kill a man who's already dead. As former Defense Secretary Robert Gates observed long ago, Biden's been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades, making him all the more ridiculous as a choice to become president of the United States. During a speech Friday, he had told, this was way back when, he told the House Democrats he'd advise Barack Obama against making the raid. But that's really pales into insignificance. What was important about this latest press meeting, so-called, but they're really a faint facsimile. He was asked, Mr. President, do you trust the Taliban? Biden, is that a serious question? Reporter, absolutely is a serious question. Biden, no, I do not trust the Taliban. Reporter, will you amplify your answer? Biden, it's a silly question. Do I trust the Taliban? No. I've written before about the fact those who are losing their cognitive abilities tend to respond very aggressively to questions they can't answer. That's what we see in this video. It's not a stupid question. Biden is simply incapable of giving a coherent answer. Biden's always been mean, so aggression is an easy fallback for him. Another reason why nobody cared about electing Joe Biden president, except the rich and powerful who are manipulating the outcome behind the scene. While it's tempting to enjoy the spectacle of Democrats coping with the fact the man they installed in the White House is decomposing before our eyes, and the woman who stands behind him is a dim bulb and manifestly incompetent, I find what's happening very frightening. With Biden a mere puppet, Marxists are controlling the federal government, burning up money, inserting their toxic, racist ideas into every facet of American life, especially the military. Meanwhile, overseas, the Chinese, Russians, North Koreans, Cubans, and other nations hostile to liberty are chuckling with glee and making their plans. None more so, of course, than the globalist elite. Meanwhile, a statue of Lewis and Clark and Scaraguia was toppled in Charlottesville. This was outrageous. I have had in the past great affection for Charlottesville, the location of the University of Virginia, where I taught twice as visiting associate professor 77-78, and then as visiting full, as I recall, the spring of 82. It's a wonderful, was then the leading public university in the United States, but I'm skeptical. I don't believe it any longer attains that status. The city of Charlottesville followed its removal of two controversial Confederate statues with the lightning-fast toppling of a third local landmark, a monumental tribute to the explorers Lewis and Clark and Sacagawea. In an emergency meeting called with 20 minutes notice so the media and the public would not be aware of it, they voted the city council unanimously to cancel another piece of public art targeted by left-wing activists. I feel that it should just be melted down, said Roseanne Abramson, a Sacagawea descendant. I feel it's entirely offensive and should be obliterated. But this appears to be a complete misunderstanding of the nature of the statue. Within minutes, a city work crew, the same that dismantled the equestrian statues of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, arrived with ropes, a crane, and pry bars to wrench the artwork off the plinth where it had stood on Charlottesville's Wells Main Street since 1919. Getting right down to business, not even taking the cherry picker off the truck, Lewis, the famous American adventurer sent by President Thomas Jefferson, who founded the University of Virginia to explore the land west of the Mississippi in 1804, was a local hero, having been born in Charlottesville, Albemarle County. The bronze statue cast to honor the Lewis and Clark expedition includes the two men in Sacagawea, the Shoshone guide and interpreter. In recent years, its design has been criticized for its portrayal of Sacagawea, who appears in a crouching position behind the standing white men, which activists have seen as disparaging. But some historians contend her posture shows her in action as a tracker, not meant to place her in a subservient stance, of which, looking at the statue, I have absolutely no doubt. One of my colleagues, a correspondent, has sent the formula, a nice piece about a formula for Confederate statue takedowns. In a Virginia state court reversal, Virginia communities can now take down Civil War memorials, resulting in the latest removal of two statues in Charlottesville. Both Lee and Jackson have come down this week and put in storage. A disappearance appears to involve certain steps that can be seen as a general pattern that is virtually formulaic. First, activist individuals and groups spearhead the takedown. Two, false flags or real horrific events add hysteria. And the complete lack of investigation in the media, a push for gun control is added to the mix. Third, city council and mayor pay no attention to compromise schemes from the majority of the public, such as commissioning other statues to place next to the Confederate. Fourth, support from the current Congress and president to destroy history, which is a classic Marxist move, by the way. Fifth, lack of transparency where the statues are going, hiding the damage from removal. Sixth, some historians fear that these Beaux-Art statues have already been melted down, which would be the ultimate goal for certain groups and politicians. Seventh, taking down fine equestrian statue negates the historic role of horses in America. Their statues, too, are on the road to oblivion, and they are, or were, some of the greatest ever produced in this country. As to Charlottesville, it's important to note the so-called deadly protest did not involve a death. The death certificate, the only piece of evidence worth considering of Heather Heyer, says she was extremely overweight and died of a heart attack in the hospital. She was nowhere near the street protest, and there's no bona fide video of her having been there. My colleague, Mona Alexis Presley, in fact, had already determined she died the following day from a heart attack and not from the automobile event. A petition spearheaded the takedown discussion from Zanna Bryant, where the city council established a blue ribbon commission headed by Frank Dukes, which made various recommendations that they completely ignored to the detriment of preservationist groups such as the Monument Fund. The Charlottesville City Council and mayor heard many members of the public, both black and white, say they never paid attention to the Lee statue, and the council is trying to stir up trouble where it doesn't exist to fix a non-existent problem. Black and white children always played together in town near the statue. It's a problem when statements and actions of activists make news, but the anti-mayor and city council don't have their voices made public. I listened to hours of their testimony. There was no consensus to take down Lee and Jackson. Putting up a serious new statue in Lee Park to counter the Confederate narrative didn't come to fruition on purpose. Patty sent this, which I greatly appreciate. And we have, of course, photographs of Jackson on Little Sorrel and Lee on Traveler. The blitz are also of high artistic value, but will not accompany the statue's removal. This is just outrageous. Let me expand, by the way, on what's going on here. This is an attempt to obliterate the nation's history and identity. These statues were erected as a form of reconciliation between the North and the South, where there was recognition made of the great leaders of the South, who, while on politically opposite sides from the North, nevertheless were great Americans. This was a tribute to their role there. The peaceful protest in Charlottesville, of course, was preempted by Terry McAuliffe, the governor, a buddy of Hillary Clinton, and the then mayor of Charlottesville, who had the local police stand down so McAuliffe could use the Virginia State Police to channel them into a violent confrontation with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, who had been bussed in by George Soros, typically even on the same bus. Meanwhile, Mary Maxwell, whom I esteem, she is the second of the three American citizens on whose behalf an amicus brief has been submitted to the U.S. Supreme Court, to explain why Zohar Sarnoff should not be put to death for an offense which he manifestly did not commit, where we included the proof, namely that the backpacks don't match, that neither the backpack his brother nor he were wearing at the time correspond to the black nylon backpacks the FBI identified as though that exploded. Where we have a case here very similar to the O.J. Simpson, where there was a skin-tight glove that, had he been able to put it on, would have fit him exactly, but where Johnny Cochran very cleverly had him put on a latex glove to ensure it would not fit, and making, you know, much of the claim that if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. Well, that was a managed event. On the other hand, since the backpacks don't match, they are exonerated when they photoshopped the two young men into the scene in Boston. They didn't observe that Tamberlin was wearing a large, baggy, dark-colored backpack that didn't approximate in size or shape the ones that exploded, and that Tamberlin and that Zocher, even more conspicuously, was wearing a silver or white backpack. Totally different. So we included photographs of the backpack that do not match, and where we concern that this may be a case of judicial murder, judicial murder. Meanwhile, Mary has published a wonderful piece you can find on my blog. Trump's lawsuit against Twitter is a masterpiece. It will save us, including the fact that the CDC is mentioned here as having colluded with the social media. Let me read you Mary's commentary. This lawsuit is superb. It is brilliant. It will solve the problem of free speech. Thank you, Twitter, for making such an egregious error in shutting down the communication of a sitting president of the United States. Thank you, Jack Dorsey, for buckling under pressure from then-Senator Kamala Harris, Senator Richard Blumenthal, Nancy What's-Her-Name, and the CDC, such as to make possible this searing plaint to the courts. Thank you, CDC, for being your usual awful self, harming us citizens to the max. Gotcha, you are done, the lot of you. I am a conservative Republican. You may be surprised to hear that I thought Donald Trump was a terrible president. The Muslim ban floored me, simply floored me. I never had the sense that the president knew or cared what was in the Constitution. I sued him, Maxwell v. Trump, in 2017 over his threat to nuke North Korea. His moving of the U.S. Embassy to Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem was a sacrilege to people of all three Abrahamic religions. It was jaw-dropping. Then he chose John Bolton for national security. I'm currently in appeal, Maxwell versus Secretary of Defense against mandatory vaccination. I ran against Trump in the 2020 New Hampshire primary for the Republican presidential nomination. I was glad Trump didn't get a second term, although I find Biden's administration horrific and surreal. I know for sure that the election was stolen and that the rioting at the Capitol on January 6, 2021 was done by agents provocateur. And by the way, I hate the partisanship that has become childish on both sides. This Westminsterization of our Congress has been making representative government a joke. That said, Trump v. Twitter is a genuine constitutional solution to many problems. Even if it never flies, though I expect it will fly, the accomplishment is already there. Below, I will print the whole thing or almost all of its 9,000 words, skipping a few items that were repetitive. I have bolded the many, many excellent points made by Trump's all-new legal team. They should get, I dare say they will get, medals of honor. I offer them the Maxwell litigation salute. Here is the gist of the case in 9 points. Point one, as everybody knows, Twitter chopped off the communication between then-President Donald J. Trump and his 88.9 million Twitter followers. Point two, they did it by way of Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act of 1996, protecting the social media companies from liability that they may censor someone unconstitutionally. Point three, this is a new one on me. Social media companies, Twitter and Facebook, were furnished with this trick in Section 230 in order to make political censorship happen. Really, she means to allow political censorship using these private companies as the conduit, I think. Point four, members of Congress, including Adam Schiff of impeachment fame, oh please, bullied Jack Dorsey to do deplatforming against his better judgment. They threatened him with all sorts of loss of business and personal embarrassment, as is their wont. Point five, legislators made known their desire to prevent publication of COVID-19 misinformation, including the lack of safety and efficacy of hydroxychloroquine and the use of face masks, in questioning the integrity and results of the 2020 presidential election. Dear God. Point six, the CDCI wretch was no innocent bystander at paragraph 77, please find. The CDC has publicly stated that it works with social media partners, including Twitter, to curb the spread of vaccine misinformation. In a document dated October 11, 2019, the CDC expressly stated it was engaging partners to contain the spread of vaccine misinformation, and specifically states the CDC would work with social media companies to that end. Point number seven, there is real constitutional content here, as in the making of culture, for example, in paragraph 61 of the lawsuit we read, by banning plaintiff, defendants have made it more difficult to communicate directly with the American public. Our national discourse is becoming immeasurably more altered and one-sided on race, medicine, the election process, the economy, immigration, etc. Blessed, blessed relief just from seeing that in print in a court of law. Point number eight, and this precedential beauty at paragraph 114. In censoring the specific speech at issue in this lawsuit and deplatforming plaintiff, defendants were acting in concert with federal officials, including officials at the CDC and on the Biden transition team. As such, defendant censorship activities amount to state action. I've never seen that argument before. Where have I been all my life? Point nine, you knew I'd save the best for last concerning Mr. Face Mask himself. I will try to see that arrest, by citizen arrest if necessary, follow. Oh, you think you can get me for incitement? Oh, yeah, try it. Deplatform me. The corpus delicti to be is at paragraph 78. Dorsey and Twitter acted to censor other medical opinions that did not uphold the narrative of Dr. Fauci and the CDC, which took on both a political and medical nature, given the interconnection between government policy and pending science. Are we thinking 18 U.S.C. 1983 prosecution? Hugs and kisses for the U.S. Constitution. You rock, James Madison. You shine, George Mason. Love you all. Oops. I forgot to say, Trump is not the only plaintiff. We'll continue when we return from this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Mary Maxwell adds, oops, I forgot to add that Trump is not the only plaintiff. Also in this case are the American Conservative Union, a single litigant named Linda Kudos, and what I call the putative class, a potential huge number of people, maybe some from Australia. I know at least one dual USOZ citizen whose accounts were suppressed for not meeting community standards. Please, readers, rejoice with me. This case is unanswerable. It is filed at the District Court of Florida. The judge has only to agree that an injunction is warranted. Lucky him or her. His or her honor will become famous for saving Americans, saving the world. Our troubles are over. Amen. And I say, yes, if this judge will make the appropriate ruling. I have read the complaint, I've read the filing, and she's completely correct about how very well reasoned it turns out to be. I'm very impressed with the filing itself. But will, in fact, the court act in a suitable fashion? That, alas, remains to be seen. I hope it happens. I worry that it may not. Either way, however, Mary has pointed out the genius of the report, where I think she's 100% correct that that's right, that this has been a covert way in order to allow censorship to take place. Even though it's proscribed by the First Amendment, this has been an ingenious way in which to allow it to take place in spite of the First Amendment by way of this particular clause in the Communication Decency Act. There's something else where I think it's not got everything exactly right, but there is something to it. There's a Supreme Court ruling having to do with DNA. Listen to this. As the author writes, some of you may find this a bit unnerving, or perhaps I'm just reading it all wrong, which of course is always possible. In a court case in 2013, Pathology versus Myriad Genetics Incorporated in the United States, the Supreme Court ruled that you cannot patent human DNA as it was a product of nature. But at the end of the ruling, the Supreme Court did rule that if you were to change a human's genome by mRNA vaccines, which are in use currently, then the genome could be patented. This means that everyone who's had the vaccine is now technically patented, and something that is patented is owned and will come under the definition of transhuman. I believe that is a mistake. That what the court ruling allows is the patenting of the genome, that particular pattern of DNA altered by the mRNA. That is not the same thing as patenting the person who is the phenotype derived from the genotype. So I believe there's a mistake in logic committed there. Those, she continues, who are legally identified as transhuman do not have access to human rights or any rights provided by the state. That's because they are not classified as 100% organic or human. Therefore, technically, anyone having this vaccine could no longer have any access to human rights. There have been a few legal papers discussing this recently, so clarification should be available on this soon. There's an explanation about the Supreme Court ruling with a link that's added here. But frankly, I think it's not quite right. According to the conclusion argued here, this would mean a good part of the population is now basically owned and not considered 100% human anymore. In their hurry to knock on doors now to get us all, if this is all true, which at least from the official ruling, it does appear, albeit in my opinion, mistakenly. Where does this leave us going forward with our families and friends? More importantly, who becomes the haunted? Meanwhile, the AMA has now reversed itself on an earlier ruling precluding or recommending against hydroxychloroquine to treat coronavirus infections. I think this is a case of too little, too late. The AMA has reversed its initial stance against hydroxychloroquine to treat COVID-19. The association's reversal now permits physicians to prescribe the medicine at their discretion to address coronavirus infections. Previously, the association dissuaded its member physicians from recommending the drugs to their patients with COVID-19. The recent memorandum made the reversal official. The same memorandum also updated a March joint statement discouraging the use of HCQ, where it's now permitted that physicians may prescribe HCQ and other combination therapies if it is in their best clinical judgment. Meanwhile, the FDA previously authorized HCQ for emergency use in late March, but revoked it in June, as it was unlikely to be effective in COVID-19. But we know that's wrong. It also elaborates side effects, such as serious cardiac adverse effects outweighed the potential benefits, but that's completely absurd. HCQ had been widespread use to treat malaria for around 65 years. I've taken it myself. This is just ridiculous beyond belief. Just more of the propaganda, more of the endless bullshit we're getting from Big Pharma, whom everyone ought to despise with all your heart and soul, because they are out to destroy us, to take out, what would have to be, you know, as much as 80-90% of the world's population. Ideally, they've stated their goal 500 million when we have 8 billion in the world today. So do the subtraction. They're talking about eliminating 7.5 billion people. They don't have any concern for human beings, for the meaning of life, all of the above. Remember, President Trump himself espoused the effects of HCQ against COVID-19 infection, tweeting the drug combined with azithromycin had a real chance to be one of the biggest game changers in the history of medicine. I remember that. I was applauding him at the time. He was 100% correct. We had physicians who were reporting they had hundreds of patients and they were treating them with HCQ with 100% success. In fact, even Tony the Rat knew that HCQ was a wonder drug based upon an article published in 2005 in the NIH journal Virology that explained that it would cure you if you had it and protect you if you did not. So I believe HCQ is a viable alternative. Ivermectin appears to be yet another. Hopefully there may be alternatives on the scene that can protect us from the effects of the vaccines, which I guarantee you, in agreement with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, are perfectly designed killing machines. Trump himself, when he went to Walter Reed, was given Remsevir instead of HCQ, where Remsevir was given emergency approval in May, initially for severe cases, but eventually was expanded to include all patients. A study by the WHO, which you cannot trust, however, found Remsevir did not lower COVID-19 mortality rates. I don't believe anything coming from HCQ. Originally used to cure malaria, HCQ gained attention as a COVID-19 treatment after the French physician Dr. Didier Raoult used it in combination with zithromycin to treat his patients. Raoult's success spread like wildfire, eventually catching the attention of the company Gilead, which subsequently lobbied France to severely restrict access to HCQ, where Gilead manufactured Remsevir. However, Raoult himself received anonymous death threats, prompting him to testify against Gilead in front of French lawmakers. A subsequent investigation revealed a medical doctor was handsomely paid by the pharmaceutical firm to send him the threats. Very disturbing. Meanwhile, Peter Navarro has tweeted, "I had 60 million tablets of HCQ that Tony Fauci and the CDC wouldn't allow the American public to use because of their hydroxy hysteria. Blood on John Berman, CNN, and St. Fauci's hands. More than 50,000 Americans would be alive today. Hydroxychloroquine and zinc could increase some COVID survival by 200%. No doubt about it." Meanwhile, we have another report linking 5G and corona with something very troubling called graphene oxide. Get this, from Gary D. Barnett. "Vaccines, masks, and tests all contain graphene. Toxic graphene oxide seems designed to hook the population up to 5G. The real bioweapon is not any virus, but is the vaccine delivery system itself, along with masks and testing, as perpetrated by the very entity government claiming to be your savior. The elimination of this government, meaning the Biden-Harris administration, is in order." Is graphene oxide causing what is falsely being referred to as COVID-19? Barry D. Barnett. "Concerning this so-called pandemic, my position has been that the SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19 was an excuse to instill great fear into the people to build a system of total control over the masses. The real bioweapon evident is the poisonous injection mislabeled as the COVID vaccine and the tactics and mandates that have not only destroyed economic activity, but decimated the health and immune systems of the public at large. Just recently, reports coming from a team of doctors, scientists, researchers, and professors from the Spanish organization La Quinta Columna have stated emphatically that the highly toxic graphene oxide is not only present in vials of COVID vaccine, from most all pharmaceutical manufacturers, but is also being delivered through mass in COVID testing. This is startling information, answering a lot of questions about not only the symptoms present for many, but also may further expose another part of this nefarious agenda, which is depopulation. As stated by this group of researchers, the masks being used and currently marketed contain graphene oxide. Not only the ones that were withdrawn at the time, as indicated by the media, but the swabs used in both PCR and antigen tests also contain graphene oxide nanoparticles. The COVID vaccines in all their versions, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Moderna, Sinovac, Janssen, Johnson & Johnson, also contain a considerable dose of graphene oxide nanoparticles. This has been the result of their analysis by electron microscopy and spectroscopy, among other techniques used by various public universities in our country. What they're telling us there is these results have been replicated. The anti-flu vaccine contain nanoparticles of graphene oxide in the new anti-flu vaccines, and the new and supposedly intranasal anti-COVID vaccines they are preparing also contains enormous doses of graphene oxide nanoparticles. Graphene oxide is a toxic that generates thrombi in the organism. Graphene oxide is a toxic that generates blood clots. In fact, there's been expressed denial of any nanoparticle use in the flu and COVID injections by the same sources in the past. The information in this report is staggering, but little effort is required to understand the high risk of using these toxic nanoside particles in vaccine. Graphene monoparticles, and therefore graphene by injection, can lead to major respiratory sickness, including lung cancer. Once these particles are inside the body and in the cells, the human immune system no longer has the ability to rid itself, and they become permanent and can cause extreme physiological harm in the body at the cellular level. Bioweapons come in many forms. This is the new tactic of war against the people by this and other governments. A powerful controlling element of society and its corrupt government partners care nothing about you or your families, but only about power and control over you. The real bioweapon is not any virus, but the vaccine delivery system itself. Along with mass testing is perpetrated by the very entity claiming to be your savior. It seems that the death of billions is sought, and a new master and slave society controlled by technocrats in a transhuman environment is a desired outcome today. Science fiction has become reality. There's an attempt to offset it, which appears to be completely expected. But listen to the following, if you can. I want to play it. And Mitchell, let me know immediately if we cannot hear it.
Who's making these vaccines know these vaccines will kill you? They know science. They're not stupid. When you spend billions of dollars to build a factory to produce vaccines, you have enough scientists to know that antibody priming will kill you. And we have to face the reality of what's going on, that this is the intention. The intention is to exterminate humanity. Somewhere around nearly 2 billion people, I hear it say, have been vaccinated. Now, according to Montagnier, anyone who has taken these vaccines that prime your immune system to react excessively the next time you run into a coronavirus, these all will be dead in 2 years. In the next 2 years, we will see 2 billion people die on Earth. If you're in a state like some of my relatives where 85% of the people are vaccinated, everyone on your street will be dead except you who haven't taken it and the others who haven't taken it. And as an anthropologist, I feel strongly motivated to tell you also as a friar that you have to start preparing yourself spiritually for this, because some people are going to be so shocked by it that they're going to lose their minds. They're going to lose their faith. They're going to ask, where is God? And why did not God not prevent it? But, you know, when a man throws himself off a cliff, is God obliged to stop the laws of gravity to prevent him from dying from it? Anyone with a brain had enough time to examine the scandemic and see that it was false. As Christians, we're obliged to test everything to see if it's true or not and hold fast only to what is good. If in a year you didn't practice that and you went and ran off to get the jab so that you could go traveling or not get offended or do something like that, you're an idiot and you're a coward and you don't live according to the truth. Truth can't ignore it if you are a person of who's objective and looks at, hey, he has a Nobel Award in science. He says so. All the experience with coronaviruses say so. And therefore, the conclusion seems almost certain. And we are living now in like the summer of 1914 before the First World War broke out. No one had an idea that in the next 3-4 years, 20 million people would be killed in Europe because of a war. There was a summer in which people still enjoyed traveling around Europe and peace. And this is the summer they've given to deceive you. That's why almost all the controls are disappearing in the Northern Hemisphere. Because they want you to think there's nothing wrong. Because they know you're going to die as soon as you get the coronavirus. Now, if you haven't been vaccinated, this is not going to happen to you. However, if a third of the people in the world are die in 1 year or one winter or two winters, there's going to be serious disruptions of the economy, national security, and your neighborhood. First of all, there aren't enough ambulances to take away the dead. There's not enough morticians to take away the dead. Most of these people have taken the vax, and they too will be dead. So as Christians, we have to look at, we have to step forward, I think, and fill the breach and the gap. You should, I recommend everyone to buy a hazmat suit because it is highly likely that you will be asked to help carry the dead to the grave. When this number of people die, they're going to be digging huge mass graves in cemeteries and just throwing the bodies in body bags. And they'll probably run out of body bags. And so someone has to pick up the bodies and move them. And when they're dead, and that can be a cause of infection because bodies corrupt, they rot, and all kinds of things get on them. And as Christians, this is a duty we have. Burying the dead is a work of mercy, even if the person was damned, okay? And let's hope and pray now that the people, as they get sick, start repenting of what they did so that at least they die in the state of grace. And we need to be near and close and friendly to our brothers who have taken the vax. So in the last hours, they know they have someone there to tell them the truth and save their soul. But we have to take issue with that. What the best scientists say is most likely going to happen. John the Apostle has warned us about it. And now that humanity has been deceived and followed the false teachings of the globalists, they're going to suffer the penalty of it. And this is going to be a very terrible age. It's going to be the darkest age of humanity in our entire history. It's going to be a tremendous catastrophe that a lot of people will not have the strength of character to sustain. Let us remain calm. Let us continue to say our rosary every day. Let us pray to God. And let us practice the detachment from judging people because they're sick. Okay, so what I mean by judging the person is you show mercy to a person even if he's a sinner. Okay, and if a person's dying, you show pity on them. Now, if these people start dying and start saying that we are the fault and come violent, then we must flee where we are so we don't get killed. And we're not obliged to help people dying who are hostile to us and might hurt, harm, or do physical violence upon us. Let's hope that's not comes, but if you want to get an idea of what kind of chaos breaks out when this many people drop dead, I highly recommend reading Tuchman's work on the Black Death. I think she called it the Mirror of History, or something like that, 13th century. She wrote a book on it, Tookman. And I read that years ago as an anthropologist. I'm very interested. I've always been interested in what happens in society when mass plagues break out. And don't be scandalized that priests run away from churches and won't bring the last sacraments, that people betray their most loved ones and run off and won't care for them in the last hours. The people who die having taken the vax are not dying of a plague that is contagious to you. If you have not been vaccinated, they won't have a disease that can infect you. But as their health breaks down, it is possible some of them might get other diseases, but that's not what happened. They're going to die from an excessive immunity reaction. And so it's not a black death, and you cannot catch it. So don't freak out. Remain calm. If five people in your household have been vaxxed and not you, they may all die. But the fact that they die, what they die of is they're dying of a virus that your body's already identified, resisted, and has immunity to. So what else can we do for these people? There are some therapies that can stay the reaction. And I mean, so they don't have such a strong reaction. But those medicines are going to run out quickly, so find out what they are and leave some show notes. See, I don't have information, but you comment on this video and leave the notes which those medicines are. It's not clear whether these people have to take these for the rest of their life. Probably will, because if they don't, any winter they get a coronavirus, they're going to drop dead again. The people who have taken the vax, they've already probably suffered from heart inflammation, even if they don't know it. So their hearts are weaker, so a lot of them will die of heart attacks. And a lot of them will die in despair, because a lot of these people are so proud, they won't admit that they did it. And when the deaths start happening and it becomes undeniable that it's the people vaccinated who are dying, these people are going to get really angry, and they're going to start, I think, riots in big cities, and we might see the fall of governments, because they're going to kill these politicians and journalists and doctors who did this to them before.
We'll continue this after the break. I wish I didn't have to report such a sobering assessment, but it appears to me he's got it spot on. So we're here hitting the break now. We'll continue afterwards, and I will be taking callers later during the show.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Frankly, I'd be rather be reporting anything else than what I'm having to report here today, but all of my research on this matter has led me to the conclusion that what you're hearing, he's got it right. He's citing this world-famous virologist who's predicted that everyone who gets these vaccinations will be dead within 5 years. Here he's talking about those who will die within two. I think the agenda is even more ambitious than 2 billion deaths. It would be wonderful if there were an antidote. But as of this point, I do not know whether or not there may be one. There has been the speculation that these elites wouldn't be unleashing this on the world if they did not have an antidote. I do believe that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin can be beneficial in protecting against the hazards represented here. But notice what he's explaining specifically is that the vaccines, instead of protecting you, instead of strengthening your immune system, do precisely the opposite. They destroy, they nullify your immune system. So the next time you encounter a virus, a coronavirus that you otherwise would have been able to fend off effortlessly because of your natural immunity developed over, you know, tens of thousands of years of evolution, has been stripped away artificially by the vaccines. So that's what he's talking about. That's why you're not going to be infected by those who have taken the jab. What they have done is to weaken their own immune systems to make themselves vulnerable so that when they next encounter a coronavirus, their body will attack itself. I mean, it's just staggering what we have here. listen now to the rest of what we're being told. I'll go back just a hair.
They're going to start, I think, riots in these cities, and we might see the fall of governments because they're going to kill these politicians and journalists and doctors who did this to them before they dropped dead themselves. So we might be seeing a lot of mayhem, a lot of civil disorder. So I highly recommend you do what Christ says at the end of time. Flee the city, go to the countryside, and defend yourself, arm yourself. And while it would be very useful for now, you ask all your neighbors if they've been vaccinated or not, and make a little private list who has and who has not, and whether they're hostile to those who have refused it or not. Because that's going to be important information you're going to need that in times of crisis. If, for example, if you're attacked at your house and need to flee somewhere, you have to know where there's a friendly place to flee. Don't flee to a house where you don't know if they're friendlies or not. They might turn you into authorities who are blaming people like us for the deaths when it's actually because they didn't listen to us that they're dying. This has been a very sober Twilight Zone kind of video, but I feel I need to make it because you, my benefactors, merit the full truth. Someone's going to tell it to you, and I was going to tell you to this starkly, because I believe that the truth is our best defense and our greatest weapon and ally. And we need to start preparing this summer, because when the flu season comes, they chaos.
As I said, I think he's got it exactly right. I was impressed that he talked about arming ourselves. And I do think there's going to be chaos. The Democrats, I think, have no idea what they've unleashed, with the exception of some of the elites who believe they're going to be spared and have control of planet Earth. As this terrible mass murder, unprecedented in history, takes place. Meanwhile, don't let them take our guns. I've already explained how the Democrats shot themselves in both feet when they promoted their defund the police agenda. I don't think anyone is played any longer. And if you want further evidence thereof, here's a report by Rob Morse, Guns and Proportion Data on Violence from 2019. I want to put violence in perspective. Let's start with a common set of facts before we argue about their significance. I saw an infographic about firearms from 2013, which I wanted to update. 2019 is the last year I could find complete data from the U.S. Department of Justice and the CDC. So let me put these facts in perspective, and then we can discuss. Here's what I found. We had 39,707 deaths from firearms in 2019. Over 61% were suicides. 24,380. That means firearms were used in 15,000 homicides, a death where one person kills another. Murder doesn't happen everywhere with equal frequency. More than half of the murders are concentrated into 2% of our counties. In contrast, more than half of our counties won't have a murder at all. I find it interesting that many of these nonviolent counties are typically considered to have high rates of gun ownership. That, by the way, is further confirmation of the research at John Lott in his War on Guns and elsewhere, that gun ownership and homicide rates are inversely related. The Democrats would have you believe they're directly related, such that the more gun ownership, the higher the murder rate. But it's precisely the opposite. The more gun ownership, the lower the murder rate. So you have a choice between gun ownership and, increase murder rates. I mean, those are the choices. Have more gun ownership and you reduce the murder rate, cut down gun ownership and increase it. We have laws against it, But criminals commit over 1 million violent crimes each year. We have over 23,000 firearm regulation, but criminals use a gun to commit murder over 12,000 times a year. Across the entire United States, that leaves us with all of 3,065 homicides with a gun that were not gang-related. For perspective, that's about the same number of those who die from asthma or from obesity. Of these 3,000 deaths, 340 homicides were the justified use of lethal force by a police officer. 344 homicides were attributed to civilian gun owners using a gun in legally justified self-defense. There were a total of 438 accidental deaths involving a firearm. Of those accidental deaths, 248 resulted in the death of a child under 14 years of age. Unfortunately, we don't know the age of those who pulled the trigger in these firearm accidents. Let's put them in perspective. There were a total of 173,040 accidental deaths in the U.S. in 2019. Compared to all accidental deaths, only 1 in 400 is from a firearm, 395. Moreover, overdose deaths from drugs and narcotics are almost 70 times more common than total firearm accidents. Ordinary citizens use a gun for self-defense about 2 million times a year. I repeat, ordinary citizens use a gun for self-defense about 2 million times a year. Out of that number, over 100,000 sexual assaults are stopped by armed offenders, 140,000. Fortunately, they seldom have to press the trigger to stop the assault. When they do have to fire their gun, most of the attackers survive being shot by a handgun. About 1 in 10 adults have their permits to legally carry a concealed firearm in public. The fraction ranges from zero in Hawaii to about 50% of adults in some rural counties in Pennsylvania. About 1 in 100 adults will use a firearm in self-defense each year. These gun owners seldom press the trigger. We're about 8,000 times more likely to use a gun in self-defense than for that gun to accidentally kill a child. Firearm owners in the U.S. who have their concealed carry permits are as law-abiding and nonviolent as any group we can find in any country. Count me among them. All this paints a pretty clear picture. It tells me we need more honest citizens to get their carry permits. You might disagree, but now we can have that discussion. There is more we need to know how to build a realistic picture of violence in the United States. For perspective, there were 462 murders in New York City last year, 348 murders in Chicago last year, 335 murders in Baltimore last year, 262 murders in St. Louis last year, 239 murders in Los Angeles County last year. When combined, these five cities had a total of 1,646 murders in 2019, more than half of the non-gang-related homicides in the entire United States. I don't think we have a gun problem after looking at the numbers. We have a failed city problem, and the U.S. news media would never admit that to be the case. This is merely further confirmation of what my brilliant colleague, Dr. Irwin, established when she superimposed a 2016 Electoral College map over a 2014 murder distribution map, and found the murders were clustered in Democrat-controlled cities with stringent gun control measures that deprive law-abiding citizens of the right to carry weapons, while criminals, who are criminals because they do not obey the law, continue to have them, possess them, and use them, free from fear that some civilian is going to interrupt. So they've created free fire zones in all the major areas controlled by the Democrats. What we're talking about here is a failed policy, exemplified to a T by the whole idea of defunding the police. Completely outrageous, even obscene. Meanwhile, and this goes along with the idea of subjecting our military to these mRNA vaccines. Male soldiers suffer acute chest pain after mRNA jabs, a new study reveals. Mind you now, if these are perfectly designed killing machines, what's going to happen when we subject our military, the totality of our military, to vaccines that have the capability of bringing about their death? Think about it. After announcing the efficacy of its controversial and highly profitable COVID shot declines 6 months after injection, and frankly, it never really had the ability to defeat COVID anyway, so the whole thing is a fantasy. Remember, the SARS-CoV-2 virus has never been isolated and identified. Since the COVID-2 virus has never been isolated and identified, it is scientifically impossible, medically impossible, to develop a vaccine that would actually serve a medical purpose. What they have done is something completely different. They have used the concern they've generated by a mass of propaganda, contrary to the actual evidence, where when I began reporting on this back in May of 2020, Ole Domegaard suggested I look at the mortality tables for the European nations and found none of them were experiencing a spike in mortality, where a more recent study from Johns Hopkins slipped through the cracks, showing there was no increase in mortality in any of the relevant age groups, where there's been no increase in sale of oxygen tanks, HIV drips, or stands, which would necessarily accompany a surge of admittees to hospitals, and where our insurance companies have not adjusted their rates. If the insurance company has not adjusted their rates, that's because there was no change in mortality, which means in turn that the COVID pandemic is a fraud. It's a fantasy. It's a mass illusion in order to provoke people into doing themselves harm under the guise of protecting themselves from a non-existent pandemic. That is the big picture. Pfizer now states it will be seeking emergency use authorization for a third booster shot. So far, it has not been granted. But this story is already from July 10th. It won't be, therefore, from lack of trying. Will this booster shot, which may as well be considered a euphemism for the first doses didn't work, also be heavily pushed or even mandated, even when we continue to hear frightening reports of heart inflammation among otherwise healthy young adults? In June, JAMA, that's a Journal of the American Medical Association Cardiology, published a paper investigating a string of concerning cases of myocarditis, a potentially deadly form of heart inflammation, among U.S. military who received the mRNA jabs. They reported as follows. Between January and April of 2021, 23 male service members, all but one previously healthy, who presented complaints of chest pain within 4 days of being jabbed. Most experienced chest pain and related symptoms following the second dose. All males had significantly elevated levels of troponin, a type of protein indicative of heart damage. For context, the U.S. military administered a total of 2.8 million doses of mRNA injections during the same study observation period. However, the authors acknowledge these cases were gleaned from only a brief period of observation and that the true incidence of the adverse event is unknown at this time. Passive surveillance, even when stimulated by global attention, may not identify all cases. Another major limitation is that they are unable to describe longer-term outcomes among the patients. In other words, how many other U.S. military members and American civilians have suffered heart inflammation at the hands of the experimental mRNA drugs? And how long may these people have to suffer the unintended consequences of their decision, coerced or otherwise, to take the drug? Mind you, we're talking about unintended consequences of those who are willing to take the drug. all these consequences of taking it appear to be intended by the drug manufacturers and those who are promoting this globalist depopulation agenda. In case you're wondering, Pfizer's pre-EUA, emergency authorization clinical trials, did not identify myocarditis, which the authors of this study argue is understandable given fewer than 20,000 had received the injection. It's long been accepted that rare and potentially serious adverse effects might only later be recognized once experimental drugs are doled out to the public. When millions receive an injection, the CDC says on its website, the less common side effects that were not identified earlier may show up, which is well known to the statisticians and social scientists, experts in any case. Meanwhile, the CDC, Pfizer, and political leaders continue to claim the injections are safe and effective for virtually anyone over the age of 12. So if these drugs truly are to be considered safe until proven otherwise, what happens when an increasing amount of evidence suggests they are not? Here's a nice commentary from one of my correspondents, Beverly, regarding the following story. Side note, the military at first was not mandating, she calls it COVID versus COVID, I like that, COVID vaccine. Interesting, since they require soldiers to get jabs for a host of other things. I think the top brass in the military didn't mandate COVID shot initially because they knew about the Spanish flu, where more soldiers died or were injured from the vaccine than from dying on the battlefield. There's an absolutely staggering report about this on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. If you haven't read it already, go there now. You do not want to miss this because it was the prototype or template for what is happening to us now. I think more people than we would expect know there is something not right with this vaccine. Now the military is requiring COVID shot. I think the powers that be are forcing their hand. Why aren't Rand Paul and Jim Jordan and Dr. Scott Jensen in Congress leading the charge to fire Fauci and call the CDC before Congress to answer for their mishandling of this crisis, using the faulty PCR test, suppressing HCQ, and now ivermectin, et cetera? Are the guys with us or just more agents of the deep state? They have the power to make major noise and aren't doing it. If Fauci is not fired and the CDC is not exposed, look for another round of mask wearing and a vaccine mandate from private industry this fall. Thank you, Beverly. Keep them coming. Meanwhile, there's a rather extensive report about the global food cartel as an instrument for starvation, where it turns out that controlling food supply is a long-standing practice throughout human history. Each year, tens of millions die from the most elementary lack in their daily bread as a ongoing financial collapse wipes out bloated, speculative financial paper. The oligarchy has moved into hoarding, increasing its food and raw material hoardings. It is prepared to apply a tourniquet to food production and export supplies, not only to poor nations, but to advanced sector nations as well. The oligarchy has built up a single integrated raw materials cartel with three divisions: energy, raw materials, and increasingly scarce food supplies. The firms within each cartel group are listed. It is proper for countries with grain, meat, dairy, and other surpluses to export them. But the cartel's four exporting regions were given preeminence in a brutal manner, while much of the rest of the world was thrust into enforced backwardsness. The food cartel is also controlled internationally, including beans, soybeans in Argentina and Brazil. The five privately held grain companies were carved out from the centuries-old Mesopotamian, Venetian, Burgundian, Swiss, Amsterdam grain route, which today extends around the world. The big five are Cargill, Continental, Louis Dreyfus, Bungenborn, and André Cargill Company, the world's largest, which is based in Minneapolis, in the suburb of Minnetonka. It's been extremely difficult to gather information on the grain cartel companies that are privately owned, but easier on U.S. companies because most of them are public. The major include Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, Mars, Walmart as a distribution entity, to name just a few. Grains and grain products, milk and dairy products, edible oils and fats, and meat provide the majority of the intake of calories, as well as proteins and vitamins, which keep the human species alive. I gotta say, this all is very disturbing because it seems to me to fit into the pattern I've been explaining again and again, that the effort to depopulate the world has three dimensions. The first of which is the mass killing us slowly. The second, the vaccine is killing us more rapidly. And the third, mass starvation, which I believe is intended to bring about the transformation that Deagle.com has projected of going from the U.S. population of 330 million in 2020 to only now they're projecting 65 million in 2025. I'm going to be glad to take calls after the break. The number, of course, is 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Let me just add, for those who may be feeling despondent over the reports I've been given, we do not know exactly what's going to happen here in the future. Perhaps there is an antidote. Perhaps we'll be able to save those who have already been injected. Bear in mind, ivermectin, which is really comes in one dose of one pill. It's available for only $4.50 or so. I obtained one the other day from my physician. Ivermectin and HCQ are both important and valuable and can help. I have been told there may be other benefits come from ancient historical practice of medicine. And when I have more information about that, I will gladly share it. Meanwhile, when we return, I'll talk about what happened in Charlottesville and how the country was played once again by a false flag event involving the governor, Terry McAuliffe, a buddy of Hillary Clinton, who had the mayor of Charlottesville stand down so he could use the Virginia State Police to channel the protesters into a violent confrontation with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Ah!
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We have a caller on the line I'll take momentarily, but here we have a CNN medical expert. Life needs to be hard for unvaccinated Americans, believe it or not. CNN's medical analyst, Dr. Leanna Wen, believes that life needs to be hard for Americans who refuse vaccinations. How competent can she be? What kind of a medical expert can this be to making this kind of observation? Wen made her remarks during an interview on CNN Friday. So we have the Delta variant, which is much more contagious. She's just swallowing the hook, line, and sinker, what she's being told. There's no justification for this. It's going to be even harder for us to reach herd immunity when she said what happens if we end up having another variant developing that's even more contagious that could cause more disease. Let me take our caller because we're getting a lot of background noise here. Caller 239, give us your first name and state and join the conversation.
Yeah, am I on? This is, I'm down in Chicago.
But you
I also live in Fort Myers. I live in, but I go back and forth to Fort Myers. I'm going back down there in a couple weeks. You know, now that the VAERS is above 9,000, you know, for the United States, it's pushing 18,000 in Europe and in the EU, and I don't know, 1,500 in the UK. You know, the writing's on the wall. I mean, I don't know exactly if it's going to happen along the lines of the scenario that, you know, you described, but it's hopefully it'll be a little bit more spread out. But, you know, at this point, I can't believe that more people that call into these talk radio shows like yours aren't getting frantic and aren't getting out on the streets like I've been doing. And also there's some guy in New Hampshire that was doing some overpass protest and you know warning people out there what's happening, because I still think it's less than half of these idiot people have taken this poison, and it's not too late to wake up the other half. And last summer I was involved in a street campaign, and I've been going a little bit less this summer, but I'm going to step it up now that this number has gone over 9,000, that people don't get out and make, you know, large signs going,
yeah,
and go out during rush hour.
You're making a great point, and because that reporting system only reports 1%. You could take the 9,000 deaths reported and add two zeros, and you're getting 900,000 deaths. That's approaching a million. I would be willing to bet that's an accurate figure.
Well, it could be 90,000. I don't know about. You know what? If it was really 900,000, don't you think it would be showing up just a little bit more than it is? I mean, that's a whole lot of dead people really quick.
That's good.
I mean, there's 650. You know, the 650,000 from the COVID hoax virus, it doesn't exist. No one's dead from the COVID hoax virus because it doesn't exist, along with Delta. You know, this is just Kabbalist Jew lies. That's all this whole thing is. And they're getting away with it. And I can't believe the people on talk radio are just such a bunch of sniveling cowards at this point. I mean, we know what's happening. We're being targeted for extermination. And all I hear is a bunch of talk. And no one getting out on the streets and waking these dopes up, because as much as, you know, I have a seething dislike for a large percentage of, you know, the American population for a number of reasons. I don't want them dead, especially the white ones, because my world is going to be totally turned upside down and destroyed. Okay, so you have a self-interest in this. You know, my site's www.vaccinehoax.com. But there's other sites, vaccineimpact.com, humans are free. There's other sites. You could use mine or use these other sites. But you go out and you say warning on a huge piece of cardboard. I mean, big, 4 by 8 feet, huge. You could find a cardboard on a garbage day. No, warning, COVID-19 vaccines equal mass murder / genocide. And then you put the URL. On the last line, you have four lines, measure it all out, and get out on busy intersections where you're going to have somewhere between 5,000 and 8,000 cars pass you in 2 hours during rush hour if you're in the larger cities. I have intersections like that. Now, if there's thousands of people, a couple thousand people doing this around the country and then doing overpass protests like I've done there, O'Hare, okay, we would give these people a run for their money. Instead, people are just talking about it. They're doing nothing. And this is going to start coming down on us. I don't know how soon but it's not going to be pretty. Hopefully, it's going to be a little bit more spaced out than, you know, is this audio that you played? Is this the same one that Rents has up on his site? The guy that was on his show. Are you familiar?
No, I don't know what Rents has on there. No, this is
he had some guy last week, you know, talking about Deagle and. You know, it was along the way, maybe the same guy or, you know, but, you know, you listen to this and you don't want to deal with this, you know, but when you see what's coming down, the number of dopes that have taken this poison and now the death numbers are starting to rise, it's the writing on the wall. This is going to happen, you know, but the guy on Rents, you know, really upset me and pissed me off for this reason. He says, there's just nothing you can do about it, blah, blah, blah. It's going to happen. It's too late. No, it's not too late. You can hopefully an antidote will come along, and also you can fight this commie scum and the program and get out on the streets and just warn people that this is mass murder and don't get near these damn things and direct them to websites such as mine or any of the other ones that are exposing this. So some of these dopes are going to look and they're not going to take this stupid thing, but no one's doing anything about this. They're just calling into talk radio and talking and not doing anything.
Right. Tony, repeat your website. Tell me, where is it?
Yeah. www.vaccinehoax.com. You can see the signs that I'm doing. But like I said, there's other ones, Vaccine Impact, that I cut and paste off of. Humans are free. There's other ones out there. You could, if you don't like mine, direct them to other websites. These other websites. But I just don't understand where you're literally watching our whole society cave in on itself, and people are just doing absolutely nothing. And I'm just repeating myself. So I'll let you get, you know, this, you could give these people a run for your money. I mean, they could close the websites down, and they will close them down. If enough people got on the streets doing what I've been doing last summer and starting this summer, and I've already done overpasses, I've been in front of these vaccine places, they will close the websites down because they'll realize that this is a direct challenge to their mass murder. But none of this is happening. I don't see it happening. I just hear a lot of talk.
I like what you're doing. I'm very, very impressed. Yeah. I'm very glad you called in. Give us again a capsule summary of what you think people ought to do. Tell us what you think.
In a nutshell, go to vaccinehoax.com. I've seen one other person in New Hampshire. It was on the RBN site. The RBN's been down the last 3 days. I don't know if it's coming back up. I don't know if this is a sign of things to come, that it has anything to do with this, you know, vaccine strike forces that are being deployed around the country. I have no idea. If it is, then that's really bad news. But go to my site, check my signs out, go on busy corners, you know, during rush hour, 2 hours a day, or go to overpasses, but you have to give people a URL that they could refer to. So when you're telling them that this is mass murder, this is genocide, you have to back it up, okay? You need to get them to these VAERS videos to show them that, you know, the scam artists that are doing, orchestrating this whole, you know, campaign, which is CDC, they're even admitting to a lot of the death. You see, you have to back it up. You just can't go out your foul. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And if enough people were doing this, it would be giving these people a run for their money.
Good.
Did you hear the question that Jim played earlier? Can I just...
What's that?
Tony, did you hear the clip that Jim played earlier in the show?
Yeah, he was talking about...
Yeah.
So my point would be this, okay? And I admire you, Tony. You know, I mean, I heard you call many times before. Remember, we used to call on Stormfront. I mean, when it comes to doing stuff like this, you're the man. You're the man. But I come at it from a different angle, right? And I got to be honest with you. Jim's heard me express these sentiments before. And at this point, I just do not care anymore. I can't do anything to help anybody else. I can say things, and I've done so. I'm very vocal. I'm very aggressive, very assertive when I'm not aggressive. And the bottom line is this is way lower than when I used to be in sales. Anybody that's ever been in sales knows if you can sell 20 to 25%, you can make a living. If you can sell 30% or more, you got a closing rate around 30% or better, you're going to be a top performer at any company. This thing, in my opinion, is like 10 to 15% the way that I look at it from my ability to influence people. I can't get people to stop wearing a mask in a store. Even when they nod their head in agreement, oh, yeah. I had a guy tell me to my face, oh, I'm just used to wearing it. After he agreed, yeah, there's nothing, no virus to be afraid of and blah, blah, blah. I had one guy take his mask off in a store after I got done telling him that he didn't need to wear it anymore. And then later on, when he was going to the checkout line, he put his mask back on. So you know what? I'm now of the mind, if you've ever watched The Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price, I kind of feel like, hey, if that happens, I'm ready. I will take their bodies to the fiery pit and throw them in. Because I am just at that point where I don't care. These people, in my opinion, are done. They're my fellow human beings, and they're betraying me. They're betraying each other, and they're betraying themselves. But in my opinion, all these politicians and all these CDC officials have no power without their dumb cooperation. And I'm almost done. The reason I mentioned that clip is if you heard that man said, we have all had plenty of time, and if you don't make the effort to go online and find these things out yourself, which you could easily do, let your fingers do the walking on the keyboard, then these people are idiots and fools. And in my opinion, all family members of all listeners aside, I wish them no ill. But my God, if people like us can't keep our own family members from taking the vaccine, how can you expect to stop the members of the public? I don't expect it, and I totally
see your point, and I've experienced a lot of what you've seen, but in my mind, this is an obvious extermination of the white European race. We're being selected out amongst. I mean, there's going to be others dying, and as I explained before, as much as I, you know, disdain of various subgroups of the white European race, okay, they do make up the society within I live. And I mean, obviously, what's happening here is they want to wipe out as many white people as they can, and then we're just going to be replaced with Indian, Chinese, and even though Indians are Caucasian, but we're going to be replaced by Chinese and mestizos, and they're just getting rid of the country. So I'm just not going to let these Jews get away with what they're doing without fighting them.
I totally,
Okay.
Let me add Let me add 2 points here. I don't know who Rents was featuring. I haven't been visited Rents in quite a while. This was a friar, Brother Alexis Bugnolo, B-U-G-N-O-L-O. He's a serious guy. I think we had an earlier report from him way back when about the looming, pandemic and its fraudulent nature. Let me bring in Bruce. Stay here. I want all three of you to be on at the same time. Bruce from Texas, join the conversation. Bruce.
Yes. Hey, Jim. I was just going to let the phone call drop, but I don't know, because I just remembered you're of the mind that Ashley Babbitt was a fake shooting. Is that correct?
Go ahead. Yeah, I believe it was a fake shooting. Go ahead. You mean that's okay, all you wanted to ask, Bruce?
Well, no, I was just going to say that did you catch Trump there on Maria Bartiromo's show Saturday or Sunday, yesterday?
I miss that, Bruce. Say that again. You were alluding to
Trump was on Maria.
Sure. I saw Trump speak at CPAC. Yeah, I thought he gave a great talk. Yeah, I still have faith. A lot of people do not, but I still believe he's the only guy who could set things right in the time frame we have available. So you go ahead. What do you want to say, Bruce?
Yeah, well, he was live with Maria Bartiromo yesterday on Sunday Morning Futures, and he was pretty adamant that he requested 10,000 National Guard troops to the Secretary of Defense just for regular security, you know. And if he had that many people, just bodies without weapons, it would have put the kibosh on the whole Capitol thing. And,
well, the whole Capitol.
And he said, well,
But the whole Capitol thing was staged by Nancy Pelosi and the FBI and the Capitol Police to embarrass Trump. That was the whole idea. So, of course, they were going to follow his recommendation. They were out to get him. They were going to lampoon him. That's what it was all about. I'm sure you agree. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I agree totally. But he's put that out there. He mentioned her. He said, well, it's Nancy Pelosi's issue because he asked for it and they didn't do it. And now she's going to have the Inquisition, the 9/11 panel, you know, for this thing. And he's pushing back pretty hard. He also wants to know who shot Ashley Babbitt. And whether you believe it or not, he's trying to find out who the guy was. There was somebody with a gun. I'm sure you agree with that, whether it's shooting blanks or real bullets. And so that's a key player. And he wants to know who he was. And he says that, well, I kind of know it's, he works for a very high Democrat, is what he said. Now, the information that I'm seeing is speculation, but they match his bracelet, all this. It's an Officer Byrd who left his gun in the restroom there at the Capitol twice already.
Bruce, look, I appreciate you bringing that up, but frankly, I want to stay on the coronavirus, the vaccines, the pandemic, and the death. So I appreciate your calling in. Call in again, and all right. We'll pursue it further. Paul and 239, I want more. Go back, Paul. Go ahead, Paul. Continue the conversation here.
Yes, sure. Thanks for the opportunity. At this point, I think you can understand my frustration. I hear your frustration, Jim. I listen to you. Some days I don't, but, more days than not, I am listening to you. And, you can hear the fact. I mean, you see what is happening, and you have a frustration, an outrage, a disappointment. But here's the thing that I kind of can't get away from. I keep it in my mind. Nobody's being forced to do anything. These people are lining up. They are rolling up their sleeves and saying, go ahead, stick me with a needle. So I don't care what happens to them. I'm sorry. It'd be like, people are lining up to get shot in the head. What can I do about it, just substitute one for the other, and you see how absurd it is. Or they're lining up to get hit upside the head with a 2x4. They're volunteering for it. Go ahead. Do it.
Paul, those are nice analogies. I'm afraid Americans are very uncurious. They tend to believe what they're told, authorities, the government. It's a calamity. Americans are gullible. for a slightly different take, let me bring in Scaredy Cat. Scaredy, give us your thoughts here.
Hi, Jim and Paul from California. So I think we can all have victories,
yeah.
but very tiny, even micro
right
or three nano
blocks.
Victories. Yeah. Hello? Am I?
Go ahead, Scaredy.
To you, Jim? Okay. For example, I know Paul is going to think I'm talking about long-term things, but I'm saying do the long-term things, but actually do little actions just for the satisfaction of having done something, so it alleviates this sense of despair. For example, Sweden has become a 93% cashless society. It's a small country, so the bad guys, who, you know, what we call the monster, filthy rich human beings, monstrous. They're not monsters themselves. They are human beings, our cousin human beings, but they're monstrous in their wickedness. They chose Sweden, it's a small country, maybe 10 million people, to totally implement this. So we have to help Sweden, you know, to not get to 6% cashless. In other words, encourage cash so we can bring that up to a 1%, maybe 8% is using cash. And that will be a good victory and worth having. So I heard the host on the radio, even Revolution Radio said, I swiped my debit card. Well, if you have a debit card that you are lucky enough to be able to swipe, that means you're not using credit cards. That means you have cash in the bank account. So therefore, don't swipe it. Go there, withdraw $500 of cash, and keep that going. Because
Scaredy, you're dear. I'm a huge fan. I want to stay on the pandemic, the vaccinations. Can you contribute to that?
Yes, it's a tangential, but this is a way of helping us not be stopped, Jim. So if somebody like yourself or even myself is being, you know, the government is going to come against you, then you can hide out with your family if you have a little bit of cash to do with this big vaccination stalking that they're doing of humanity. You see? So I'm saying keep these things alive. And even though it seems like a division of labor in different departments, it helps. The main thing is survival. Even though we're talking about big things, we are unable to produce an effective result, just tiny results. And Jim, I am successful compared to you in this one department because three people who I directly deal with, that is my son, number two, my daughter, and number three, my mom, and number four, myself. I have kept ourselves unvaccinated. And it killed me. It's killed me. And remember a couple months ago, I told you it was the worst day of my life when my daughter casually, I know you also have a daughter, you're a father, said, I'm thinking of getting the shot. I just, my life just crushed. But so far I have been able to. So therefore, listen to me in terms of these tangential things, because it keeps us safe when we have to be on the run in hiding.
Scary, that's all good. That's all good. I want to go back to vaccine hoax. If you're still there, area code 239, please give us some further thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I'll just give you a last thought because I'm in the market. I got to go take a look at my stock. But, you know, I understand Paul's pessimism about the situation. But on a positive note, if you have to look at it this way. Okay, look, they're doing this door-to-door thing. This has been planned for a long time. This is not something that they just pulled, you know, a rabbit out of the magic hat. They had this plan. Obviously, they're disappointed in the amount of people that, you know, have taken this vaccine. It's not enough. It may be even less than half of the total population. So, you know, I know you're negative, Paul, and I feel your pain, okay? But there's obviously in this one half, or a little bit more than one half that hasn't taken it, there's obvious some major apprehension, okay? Just let me finish. There's what?
Mitchell just adds the observation they can't go door-to-door looking for illegal immigrants, but they can go door-to-door for those who aren't vaccinated. Even though the government has no responsibility for our personal health and does have a responsibility for illegal migrants, you can see the atrocity that is this Biden-Harris administration. What a disgrace. How disgusting.
Yeah. Let me just make my final point, and then I'm gonna have to take off.
Got
okay.
It, there's obviously some
apprehension out there on the one half or the little more than one half that he hasn't taken it, but still most of these people do not realize how many people are dropping dead on this thing. Okay. So by going out and doing what I'm suggesting, you'll be cementing the deal in their mind not to take it and to stand up to this tyranny, okay? So you can look at it positively that way. And that, I think I'm being very accurate, because they wouldn't be doing the door-to-door if they weren't happy with how many people have taken it, okay? We're in that stage. So that's why people need to do, is to deny them the other one half. And I know a lot of these people are dumbed-down dopes, but you're talking about dropping dead in many cases in a very painful way. And if you convince a number of them to look at it, to see the statistics, when they see it's from the CDC, that there's this many people dropping dead, and then when they find out that this is just a small percentage, maybe 10%, down to 1% of what's actually dropping dead, I don't care. That's going to have an impact, okay? That's going to create a resistance to this communist tyranny that we're under right now. So I disagree with just not doing nothing and saying these people suck, and I agree they do suck, okay? And I'm just going to let them drop dead and screw it up, because your world's going to be down a tube quick here if you don't do anything about this.
I'm delighted you called in, Tony, and I'm also very happy you called in. Give us your final thoughts.
I'm gonna drop off. I gotta get back to my business. Okay, bye.
I got it. Thank you for calling. VaccineHoax.com. Paul, your final thoughts. Paul. Well, if we don't have Paul here, listen. I think Tony's making some great points. Check out VaccineHoax.com. I appreciate Bruce and Scarity and Paul calling in. And I just say, you know, do what you can. Spend as much time with your friends and loved ones. We really do not know how much time we have left. Thanks for being here. Back Wednesday with the event.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.